الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون صدق الله العظيم Dear respected listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal and we send our salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. We only have, well, just over half an hour before the adhan of Salatul Isha. So hopefully, inshallah, we'll open up the discussion and then we'll take it from there. Many of the people will have heard and have been asking about the title, the Fireside Chai and Chat. Obviously, chai, although we don't see it now, hopefully, we will see it in the next 10-15 minutes or so. And the chat is probably the irrelevant stuff. But no, fireside chai. Many a people actually thought they'd be seeing a fire and will be lighting a fire and sitting around the fire and probably chatting away and drinking chai outside or so. But sorry, we won't be having a fire. But we didn't have anyone to set a fire for us. But hopefully next time, when it's winter and it's cold weather, we could probably sit around the fire and probably receive chai then. Nevertheless, what does fireside mean? Over here is, inshallah, we'll be having a dialogue, a conversation. Again, that could somewhat lead to discussions, conversations from one topic to another topic. So again, in this 30 minutes or so, we'll try and facilitate the flow of conversation. Alhamdulillah, we've got a number of imams with us who will also express their ideas, views. In the same way as well, alhamdulillah, those who are attendant here may be able to express themselves. So we've only got 30 minutes. We'll try and involve different people and allow the discussions to go through. Hopefully, no interruptions. We'll respect everyone's views because end of the day, obviously what is clear is what Allah and His Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. But some of these discussions will be based on people's tajriba, experiences, or their own encounters, or their own reading. And that's the purpose of this discussion, to open a dialogue, to open our horizon, our thinking, develop our understanding. Let's move on to some of the topics, the nitty-gritty stuff, and inshallah we'll try and involve. So hopefully some discussions will be focused on the teenagers, some on the elderly, and different aspects, masjid, community, etc. Let's dig into a big issue, which is raising children with deen. So now I'm going to pose a question. What are the biggest challenges parents face raising children today? As much as we're all here to learn, we've also come here to learn from each other. So what are the biggest challenges that we as parents are facing raising children today? What helped our elders raise us with deen? What helped us then? What's missing now? This is when I'll bring forth some of the imams to discuss, and probably some of the views from those attendants, and somewhat of my role will be to intervene and interrupt, and I don't want to say be the devil's advocate, we're never devils, but try and challenge some of these ideas and what encountering arguments there could be. So what are the biggest challenges that we as parents can face raising children today? So do you want to? By the way, Hafiz Bashisab, sorry to put you on the spot. He's our elder. Alhamdulillah, many years of service in Bari Darul Ulum as well, Blackman Darul Ulum as well. Lots of wisdom. That's why in our communities, we'll have different people. We'll never identify, we'll never know who they are if we never encounter. So one of these chats is, okay, where we get to know some of the people, some people can express themselves. We know that we've got an experience of hundreds of years sitting here. That's why reading or staying in the suhbat companionship of great people is so powerful, that here we have an experience of 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years given to us in a few moments. And it's so powerful. And it can happen the other way around. I was reading the other day a quote from Usain Bolt, although quite weird to hear from here. But he said basically, he practiced for 6, 7, 8, 9 years for that 9 seconds. And it's ajeeb, isn't it? That he said daily waking up, strict routine, strict diet, running, difficulty, hardship, going through all the struggles to everything for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, compromising with family time and other interests to everything, just for 9 seconds. That's quite so powerful. But obviously someone like him who has been successful in what he does, when we really know what true success is, although probably he'll do it again and again and again. But it does take years for that 9 seconds of running the race. So many of the elders we see here, many of the elders who saved our community, probably we saw some of their achievements, we saw some of those things that they did, but probably where they were or who they became was sacrifices of days and weeks and months and years. And I'm sure some of the parents will be able to tell me about Hafiz, being a Hafiz. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, he's a Hafiz. Mashallah, he led us in Taraweeh. It's easy to hear, it's easy to say, but those parents very well know early mornings, waking up, sitting with the child, listening. Sometimes it's frustrating. In the evening, pickups, drop-offs, first para, second juz, third juz. It's a roller coaster of a ride. But would they do it again after 3, 4, 5 years? They would definitely do it again. But there were struggles there. But we don't see that journey. Our elders came into this country in the 60s and 70s. Yeah, we see the fruits of their efforts now, but we didn't see the struggles, and we'll probably never know the struggles. They came in a foreign land, never spoke the language, never knew what they'd do, never knew what would happen of their community in the next 20, 30 years, had family that relied upon them, yet they were able to look after their families here, look after their families back home, yet build masjids, madrasas, halal industry, to all these sacrifices. And I think it's so important that we all somewhat see, even in the future, we have these events where some of our elders speak about what they went through, so we grow in appreciation. And that's why, on a side note, and again, the purpose of this discussion, although I don't want to lead it, is to prompt and encourage some of the brothers to play this active role. That otherwise, if our elders are passing away, may Allah lengthen their ages, will we lose our history? Will we lose our legacy? Will we lose our connection to where we came from? What happened in the 60s, 70s, 80s? So it's somewhat upon our elders to preserve that and then to convey and transfer that knowledge, that history, to the generation afterwards, who can then pass it on to the generation afterwards, so we know where we came from. We know the roots, we know the struggles, we know the sacrifices. So although we read about great scholars, don't we? We say, oh, Salahuddin Ayyubi was so-and-so, this great scholar was so-and-so. But what made them who they then became? Shall we do them in saf? So inshallah, we'll just roll them out. So if we can sit as though in saf, so it's easier to roll the dastarkhan out. Jazakum Allahu khairan. So Hafiz Saab, with all that muqaddima, with all that introduction, only if you feel comfortable. I know Mufti Maaz has put you on the spot. But I'm not as nasty as you know. How can I be so nasty? What are the biggest challenges as parents were facing raising the children today? Okay, probably you don't need to use the mic. So anyone can raise their hand and can say, what do we think is the biggest challenge today? That's good. So the exposure to social media. Probably 20, 30 years ago, it wasn't so. Like, what's the worst a person can do? Yes, you may have had, what was it, Nokia 3210. Even that was quite sophisticated, that you could be hiding behind a bed. Dad doesn't know, mom doesn't know. Only when the light becomes visible under the duvet, soon as someone's coming, hide it under 10-pound top-ups. Or was it what?
Comics.
Or comics, reading the comics. So the worst, for example, Avisab will know the worst in Darul Uloom would have been then was, okay, lights are switched off, let's say 11 p.m, everyone has to go sleep because you need to wake up for Fajr. The worst someone could do is, whilst the light has been switched off, they might have a torch or so under the duvet reading Harry Potter or so. That may have been the biggest crime then. Now, obviously, it's no longer these books, it's no longer these challenges, it's the phone. Now, what's the correct age to give the child a phone? And I'm sure parents have that pressure because my friend has it and he has it and she has it. And then what's the correct age? How do you restrict it? And how do you control what they're accessing? Because this is the whole dunya. There's everything in there. May Allah protect, but obviously others know that other people could have had access to phones and different chat groups and chat services and be able to contact different types of people in different parts of the world. Now, it's even more easy that they could be talking to strangers and parents may be thinking, oh, mashallah, my son is here, my chokri, she's very well. She just stays in her bedroom, he just stays in bedroom, they do their homework, whenever I'm go, they're on their laptop, on their computer, and yeah, just food time comes down, says, little do they know, they could be doing anything, accessing anything there. So it's challenging because we have zero control. And how do you restrict them? Again, that probably leads me to another question. Whenever you feel I'm boring you, please tell me. That leads me probably to another question is, how dictating and forceful should you be as a parent? You know, one is azadi. Okay, you want to go chalo. Like, for example, I'll tell you my story. When we were kids, some of you will know, St. John's was everything. Everyone knows St. John's? No, near Worley Range. So from morning till evening, there were 10 matches going around. So probably what you'd do is either go Shandar, then K2 Taj came, 50 pence or 40 pence, the chip cone. That's your biggest crime. And then all day, morning till evening. So the person knows, the mom knows, the dad knows, Kaya sir, it must be in St. John's. He's got his small friend circle and probably the most he's going to have his chips. And again, they're hiding away. You don't want mom and dad to see because you only allowed takeaway once every so often. There was quite a strict diet when you're allowed. So that's the worst you could have done. And then you took a step further for those brothers who know was places like John's where people went to play some snooker game or so. They didn't mean any harm, but we knew Campbell's. Oh yeah. we don't know about it. So, but the thing was, okay, yes, there were a few things in there. Number one, we were well aware, okay, alhamdulillah, my child is fine. Or otherwise, people could frequent these places and see and keep an eye, okay, who's going, who's coming, what's happening. Now, unfortunately, so how much azadi and freedom do we give our children? Okay, you can go morning till evening. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going Manchester to eat. Where are you going? So How much azadi and freedom? The girl says, yeah, I'm going out with my friends. Previously, if they wanted to go to a town center, go with the sister, go with mom, go with the brother. So with the brother would go to a town center, although a few minutes walk. Now she could be going with her friends, 6 o'clock, 7 p.m., 8 p.m. Where are you going? We're just going to the chaiwalas. Who? Some friends. So how much azadi and freedom and flexibility do you give children? Here, you have your own iPads and tablets. You have your own freedom. Or how much of control do you have over children? Okay, no, you have to be doing this. You have to be doing that. You can't do this. Wherever you go, I have to be there. You have to hold on to me. So how do you create that balance? I don't know if I'm making sense, between giving them, live their childhood, making them feel as though they have autonomy. So because again, we're not going to hold their hand. You may be able to hold their hand when they're 8 years old, 9 years old. When they start seeing things, year 10, year 11, college, university, we won't be there to hold their hand all the way. Now they have to make their own independent, wise decisions. But if we've not nurtured them, or if they've not learned that under our roof, then unfortunately, they will not be able to make those wise decisions. And we've not allowed. So how much should we give them the independence and nurture and develop them and make them responsible? And how much should it be, we control? Because as parents, no parents wants bad for the children. Because we want the best. We want to protect them. We want to safeguard them. So in order to safeguard and protect them, are we then restricting them? Okay, where we think we did good parenting, but the same child, may Allah forbid, we think we did okay, and rebels and doesn't like mom and dad. Why? They were so forceful. Ustadi could happen. As a teacher, you want the best for your students. You must do this, you must do that. But how much of it are you controlling? Or when they graduate, they don't even want to see you again. So how much of it you want to develop the relationship? So, Bismillah.
The old days used to be, there was lack of knowledge, but there was time. At the moment, there's a lot of knowledge, no time.
Okay. So, I'll just repeat it because in the earlier days, there was lack of knowledge, but lots of time with the children, with those around you. Yeah. Now, there's lots of knowledge of things, but people are always busy and there's less time with children, with families.
I think that's related to obviously earning. Heights have gone, heights are now the women not going out to work as well. So very little time with children.
As you said, old people had knowledge, awareness, everything. But old generation was their respectable era. Now it's time to change. The law and rule and regulations can be changed. You can't control. Because there is a limit. If you cross the limit, right, government will be involved. You are frightening from the government's rules and regulations. Before, the children were listening to the elder people. Now, freedom. Too much freedom in children. You can't control it.
Okay. So if there's too much freedom and it's difficult for us to control, is the only solution now muhabbat? Love and love and love. Because if it's not going to work any other way, then it's overpower them with love, that even if they go away, they return home in the evening knowing, I've got a safe home. I've got my parents. Sorry.
I think sometimes you've got to find a balance that are you being too forceful, or you can't do this, you should do that. But why? We never explain that. Benefit of doing that.
Okay, sorry, I'll just repeat sometimes for those who are listening. So I think that's an important point. But you know, previously, even in madrasa or anyone, it'd be like, do it, Kem, because I said so. Like, why would you question? How could you question your parents, Kem, why? So it was like, you had to do it. Whether you believed in it or not. Now, obviously for different reasons, the children, whichever child is, will say, but why? But why, but why, but why? When they're young, probably you'd be able to tell them, just do it. But afterwards, if you've not won over them, if you've not explained to them, they'll never grow in understanding that.
Yeah. This other thing was, at a certain age, sometimes you become a bit reluctant to talk about certain it was taboo in our days. Like, our parents didn't speak to us about, oh, if you go to university, then stay away from this and don't do that, you know what I mean? So sometimes you may feel, is it right for me to speak to them about that?
Okay, so that's another important point. Okay, some subjects may be taboo, so we don't develop that relationship because the children are hesitant, were hesitant. And this is where I think us, and alhamdulillah, the attendants, all of us have a play to part. We, obviously, knowing their challenges, we need to be accessible to our young ones. 15, 16, 17-year-olds who should feel, for example, the imams, the maulanas, the imams, these people I can go to and discuss, number one. Number two, they need to be discussing relevant topics, I guess, which are relevant to them. And thirdly is, sometimes, I was just talking to Hamza Bhai, he's here somewhere. Hamza, you can wave at everyone. That's Hamza Bhai. No, sorry. So, you were saying that, look, if he'd see someone like me looking scary, he might hesitate to open up and discuss. But if there's someone else, a community leader, or someone who's very much involved, he may feel relaxed and open to discuss and relate. So sometimes that's where the role of our community members are. That you may not be an imam, you may not be an alim or scholar, but you've got something, you've got a skill, you've got some experience. So there'll be someone who'll be able to relate to you, and who can ask you the questions, whom you can guide, and you become their mentor. I think that's a big thing. I think Mufti Muad will agree with me. Okay, in today's time, mentorship. Before they had sheikhs, they had peers, they had guides. Now, bichara, these innocent children, as they're growing up, they don't have mentors, spiritual guides, who can navigate them through challenges. What happens? Parents don't know. Well, I'm assuming some. What happens in university? What are the challenges? What are the physical challenges? The peer pressures? What are the difficulties and hardships? So now these mentors in every community would hopefully try and guide them. Again, for example, we have in all the schools, madrasas, we have the careers advice, which is which route. In the same way as well, this child, you're now in your GCSEs, A-levels, which route would you like to take? What would you want to do? What are the different opportunities for you? What could you do? And creating that space. Let me give you an example of over here. And I only say that, so it only opens our understanding. Some youngsters came and they said, we want to do something. We want to help out. Now, it's our duty now to make and create avenues to make them feel at home. Otherwise, why would they come here? That was going to be another topic, but why would they? So now we have to create avenues for them to be feeling valued. So for example, at home. Now, child, we can lift the dastarkhan up ourselves. We can take our own plates, but no. Involve the children. It's the children. So they feel involved in the process. SubhanAllah, as Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba, they were traveling. The time for meal came. One said, I will go and hunt the animal. The other one said, I will slaughter the animal. The other one said, I will cook the animal. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself expressed, I will do this. The Sahaba said, O Prophet of Allah, we shall suffice for you. We're here. You said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, I don't want to assert any superiority. So he himself became involved in preparing the whole meal. In the same way, sometimes the children may feel valued. At the same time, we make them responsible. So, but we've given them ownership of something they feel that they're part of. So there's that loyalty, that connection. So alhamdulillah, we looked at certain things and we're trying to create that. Sorry, Mufti Mahad.
Noting them down, or we are not discussing enough about them, so we don't remember what was gone. So at the end of the meeting, we go, we don't know what was.
I think the chai's here and the monitors, and I think it's.
I'll just give an opportunity for Mufti Hanif Sahib to have some tea and drink as well. Just put in my 2 pence. He's got more children, many more than I do, so he's probably got much more of a right to speak. I've only got one. But one of the things, I think, 2 key challenges that I think. Just from our side, obviously the elders would be better to speak about the past, is we've got 2 sides. One is the children's side. The children have become super sensitive, like Uncle said. They've got a lot of empowerment. They know you can't speak to them so much. You can't even shout at them. The other day I shouted at my daughter. She literally said to me, don't ever shout at me again. Right? I don't know where she's learned that from, but she's learned it from herself, really. I don't know how, but she just told me and the mom clearly, don't you dare ever shout at me again. And she stormed off. She's 3 years old, right? So they've got a lot of empowerment. And on the other side, because of the rise of the cost of living and the women also going out to work, men are also going out to work. So we've got this like double whammy. The children need so much attention, gentleness, careness. They need like a full game plan for them. And at the same time, we've not got the time because we've got so much earning to do or so much of our... And we've got our own distractions, devices, YouTube, BBC, got all of these different distractions that you've got in our lives, which our parents didn't have. So they were just like... And they could just be in like what we would just call like a autopilot mode, where they would just sit at home after they've eaten, sit on their sofa. They know the kids are going to do everything. They've not got so much opportunity. The kids are not going to mess about so much, like Mulsab said. They've not even got YouTube, all of these things that we now have. So we've got this double whammy where the children also have loads of liberty, freedom. They know you can't say much to them. And at the same time, the parents also have this challenge where they've not got enough time. Whereas really, the challenge for us is 10 times more than what it was for our parents, because we need to have a full game plan of how we're going to raise a child. So I would advise, Wallahu alam, I've not done it myself, but I think we should all collectively try to do something, which is, I think, join as many as you can these parenting courses that you have sometimes online as well. You'll have YouTube videos of good, because this whole generation needs a full, you need to work them out. They need a whole lecture. You need a whole lecture of how to deal with the new generation, because they've been affected by modernity and all this technology. So number one, we need parenting books. I think we should write as many. From the ulama side, we should be working on learning from the prophetic method of parenting. I think that's a real need of the ummah. Like, for example, just one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's in Bukhari. It's Mahmud ibn Rabi. So he's a grown man now, and he's saying in that hadith, he says, I remember majjatan majjaha Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fi wajhi. I remember that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once was doing wudu, and he saw me. I was a 5 year old, and he saw me. I was standing there. So he was doing wudu, he was goggling, and he took the goggle and he threw it into my face. Just as a joke, you know, as a fun. So we need to learn all of these different things that the Prophet ﷺ did as well, how he would show muhabbah, love. And we need a proper game plan of how we're going to do this. So we need to, inshallah ta'ala, even in the masjid as well, we hope to at some point, inshallah, have a full parenting course as well. That would be really cool. We could get some experts in. I think this is something that we need as well. Experts on parenting, psychology experts, would actually give us some tips, ideas. We need like game nights with our kids. It's a full plan we need, because after you've had a long day of work, you can't switch off now. Our parents could switch off because they know kids are not going to do anything. But we've got a full shift at home after that with the kids. But I'll hand you over to Mustafa.
So I can't really say much again, but the biggest word I could probably relate to is from, say, name?
Zubair.
Where he mentioned about balance. I think it's very important that there's a balance, that there has to also be that we get involved in their life, but it can't be so much that we're too close to them, but it can't be also too distant that they feel that they become independent and they can live without us. So there has to be that they need you. And what we hear from our elders, that it's important that everything we're doing of deen is the understanding that they're doing it. If we're forcefully putting it into them, then the main quote I'm getting to is our elders say, "Be samajh kar karenge, to be samajh kar chhod denge." That if we make them do anything without understanding, whether it be namaz, whether it be Quran, they'll learn it all. But you realize that very straight after they hit 16 and they become independent, everything they did it without understanding. So the same Quran they learned, the same kalimas they learned, the same salah they learned, where they got slaps and everything, you name it, the danda and everything, is now all forgotten. The reason being was, it was all done in a forceful manner. So I think there has to be this love, yet there has to be this bond where there is taking, but when we're taking, we're giving. And there has to be also an assurance factor. I think that's the only extra part I could probably... Because I was in Jamaat once last year, in 10 days.
You have to look from child perspective as well. Because how much child has the time left? Yeah. Because child finishes school 3:30 or something like 3 o'clock, then he come home, he has to take a dinner, then he has to again preparation for the mosque. The day is gone. So where the child freedom goes? We need to look at that perspective as
Because but it was also like when we were in Jamaat, one person, it was inspirational. He also said to his son, and he was vocalizing, that he's my best friend. That he showed that, love physically, showed it vocally. And sometimes what happens is, oh, it's cringy, I can't do that. But I think it's also expectation, it's also trying to be people pleasers. That in front of other people, you say to your child, "Aunakar," or just, but then you change yourself just because of other people. But I think there has to be a bond with the child in a, you know, in a sincere manner. And mainly, it's also that we take sadaqah out, we follow the tertib of our elders, where we also, like Mufti Maaz, when he mentioned kitabs, sadly, we not try to be like devil advocate. It's so sad that today no one has time to read books. People who study doesn't have time for books. But best thing is workshops. We do have time, but people don't want to make that time, so unfortunately. But if we have like workshops where things are said in like 5 minutes, today people, they only want 30 seconds, everything. And me going right now, people are like, that's enough. So it's important that I think there's a voice of this, and inshallah, there should be a change.
What was not acceptable 20, 30 years ago is the norm now. And we've not educated ourselves to understand what actually happens at these age groups.
Yes.
So we've not learned ourselves. So we can't relate to them. We don't know what they're exposed to.
I think just to say, reiterate what Uncle said, which is, I think I'm guilty firsthand of this, you know, having three children, one's 26, one's 14. I think what you find is we fail to sometimes see the world from the child's perspective. A lot of the times I'm looking at the world from my childhood perspective, which was a different world 30 years ago to what the world is now and the challenges children face today. And what you try and do is apply what your parents, because you basically, how your parents sort of brought you up, and I feel my parents brought me up well. I think that those same things, strategies, apply to my children, but they don't.
I think that's a very important point, because we do that all the time, kid. Why can't you wake up? We used to wake up, we used to go madrasa, we used to do this, and hifz class, and we did this, and we used to help in them, and we did all these things. Why can't you do that? And so we...
We are talking about present situations. Just forget about what was happening and that thing. It's like a criticism goes to the elder people. But how, as brother said, how are we going to keep the balance between parents and child? Mm. Become friendly with them. How much time they have and how much time you got. You need to find the time to build the relationship between them.
I guess the challenge is, alhamdulillah, develop relationship, love, but again, the balance between, you know, I don't know what the exact word is, but in Gujarati they'd say like kalpan karan. You don't want to then show so much where you don't have any control over them and you've not taught them. Look, I'm going to fast forward one or two other discussions, relationships, marriages. We know that may Allah preserve and protect, but if you were to look at statistics, the rates of divorce are increasing. And there could be different reasons for it. And probably if we showed love and they never learned discipline, they never learned rules, they never learned compromise. Now, even after he now marries and she marries, now they have to make a family. Now they have to compromise. So when and how do they learn to give up? That how to make a home? That you can't always get what you want. And I can understand as a father of a young girl, knowing that she's only with us for the next number of years and eventually she'll go somewhere. So you'd want to show the affection and give her everything. But now when she goes into a new household, we know the reality of life is, will she receive everything she wants? Can she have the same demands that once dad always met, now will the husband always meet? Because He's also struggling. He's also working. And they've got the home. They've got the car. They've got to balance life. Now the dad took her, for example, twice in a year for a holiday. Can the husband afford to take her twice a year? Probably dad replaced her wardrobe every 6 months. Now is it feasible for her wardrobe to be replaced every 6 months? So there's that balance also. Moving on to the next topic. We've only got 10, 15 minutes or so. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Won't benefit us that much. But what I feel is our parents of three children, 13, 15, and 19 years old, I feel at this age, like becoming a mujtahid, what tools we need and how many years we spend. To be a parent in this age, also we need same tools, same knowledge, and none of us, I can say, 100% knowledgeable about it. So for every challenge, there are ijtihad that we do at home. Maybe father do one, mother differently, and it's out of nowhere, no knowledge. So I think something, having workshop or even recorded videos, short videos based on situations would help. And there are available samples in Eastern world, in Western world, and we can find out and then combine what we need.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah, I guess so the most important thing is education. As parents need to educate what stage of life the children is going through. At the same time, appreciating not every child is the same. So what may work, that's why, are there any professional parents? Is there anyone expert in there? Probably Allah knows best, because what worked for one parent may not work for another parent. What worked on one child may not, because of the context, because of different personalities, because of different exposures. So that's always, like said, okay, it's a DIY thing, okay, where a person personalizes their plan towards their child. And after all this, and I'm sure many parents will share these sentiments with me, I sometimes am scared talking this, or preaching, or even to do bayan on this topic, because it's scary. We can say, do this, do that, do that. We just hope it works out well. Because we know it's a challenge. My child is okay at 3 years old. What about 7? He's okay. What about 10? What about 15? It never ends, doesn't it? Now marrying age, it never ends there. Now suitable spouse. Now they've got children. Now again. So it never ever ends. And ultimately, the most important thing is dua. Because Nuh alayhi salam, so many prophets, can there be any blessed people? Can there be anyone better in parenting than the prophets of Allah? Yet we know that when Hidayat was not written, ultimately he said, Ya Bunay, irkam ma'ana. The floods came. He was embarked on the ship. That Emirabeta, my beloved son, travel with us. He refused to do so. So ultimately, we can do, and we try at most best what we can do to say, Oh Allah, I tried everything. Ultimately, Hidayat is in the hands of Allah. So we make dua. Let me just quickly move on to the next one. I think we should, and it's unfair, we're only discussing one thing. We've touched upon relationships, and the idea of this program, inshallah, is not to give, all right, we've now gone through everything, just to open a dialogue. Inshallah, now we've broken the ice, we can meet each other, we can discuss. Probably someone will say, when are we going to have it next? And then probably some people who are not here get to know, okay, all right, slowly. So this is a long journey, inshallah. Today we have that, tomorrow, the day after, we have more and more and more. And inshallah, then we'll open up discussions where people can say, okay, what about these discussions? So relationships is a massive one. Again, that requires a whole thing. Before we conclude, okay, this one. How do we help, not necessarily our teenagers, but all of us, love Islam? How do you create? So we've all agreed, you can't now force anything. I can remember, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our elders, but they used to be there by the shoes, rats. Many people will know, hey, take your socks off, stay quiet, you don't say anything, you don't do anything. So yeah, the time passed by. Now it's a bit different. How can you develop love of Islam in us, in our children, connect them, make them come to the masjid? So what are the different ways? How do we? So we all agree that you got to show love, show love, show love. But how do you create the love of Islam? Talim and Tarbiyat.
Break the ulama and the congregation.
I think perfect. And so the suggestion made was break that barrier between the ulama or learned and similar for girls listening. It could be apas or those who are learned with girls. And I think, yeah, and inshallah, this is a step towards that where you're breaking the barrier. So we'll go. Yeah.
Hey,
sorry, we've ignored you. I think it was important because sometimes we restrict it to masjid, salah, madrasa. But looking for every opportunity to talk about the fate of Allah, about suffering, it's from Allah. And this is one trait. Honestly, I've seen it, other brothers, that I've seen in some of our, again, we're all brothers, but we know there's certain good traits in those who have come from subcontinent. And then there's other things that need improvement. Same. Some of the Arab brothers I've seen, subhanAllah. You know the expressions, Mufti Muad will say as well, you know the words they'll say, someone trips and falls, we'll be like, can't you see, walk up straight. That's our instant reaction. There's another thing as well, I don't know why I'm saying this, but what I realize is, okay, when it comes to stuff like that, we'll go into Gujarati mode or something, even if we're talking in English, there's probably reasons for it. But our instant reaction, when Arabs, like dua or taqdeer qadar, or like, you know, it's so powerful, and every opportunity will be like, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. So iman and yaqeen. Wow, it's inspirational.
Islamized language, so for every aspect they use.
Subhanallah. So it's a whole thing then, it becomes Islamic. So that love and that connection to, and I think the names of Allah are so important. So they understand, oh, my Allah is Qadir, my Allah is Ar-Rahman, my Allah is so-and-so. So it really creates that love and connection.
Like the last time your daughter or your son or whatever fell over, you would have asked, why are you running so fast? But really, you should have. You can ask that, but then, like what brother said, it's true. I've never ever once said to my daughter, it's okay, it's from Allah. I've never said that.
May Allah protect you on the bridge of Sirat. You know, something that was so powerful because people will trip around. Like, that, those connections. And that's why I think it's important to have exposure to different cultures. That when you sit, obviously, like if you know Arabic, when you sit with them, when you come across, you think, wow, what are you saying? Why are you saying? And then we realize, okay, we've got a long way to go.
Yes, sir. Just one other thing. Another thing, I think it's also the thing I've seen in Blackburn, to be honest, because children is like a cup. If you don't fill it, someone else will fill it.
Small.
So the way it's been designed here, I think it's a very, you know, clever way, because the connection between madrasa and masjid and the school, so children get busy. I think that's really important, because we know it's when you have time, free time, devil will come. So you have to keep them really busy. And the system, you know, being designed here is, mashallah, very, very good, good way to keep them connected.
Another thing to bring them down to the Islam is their history. They're telling the stories who was our Sahabas. And every Sahaba's story we have to believe.
I think you can repeat what Uncle is saying. I think that's important.
So Uncle was just mentioning that it's important that we let them know of our history, and that they feel empowered, that who we really are, and what our roots, Islamic stories, Sahaba. But another thing is, like, what an observation is, we see that a father is a Liverpool fan, and then we see every single child of his is a Liverpool fan. Why are you a Liverpool fan for? And it just we could just say it's like a part of the. So I think it's when they see the father or when they see the parents showing love for one thing. Like now, if the father needs to go namaz, namaz duanuche, then that's gonna pass on to the child. Allah Quran paranuche. So if we show love for it, Allah, Papa always kept reading kitab. He's always there, mashallah. So of course, even the daughter is there, say, oh, but she'll be ripping the pages. We always read in the books there, kitab. So then the child, without you knowing, is all of a sudden into kitabs. But if the child's always on a, today we see, oh, the father's 40 years old, he's talking about Clash of War, some game or whatever. And then the child's always going to be like, oh yeah, gaming is my thing. Arsenal my thing, United my thing. Why? Because the father's always on that thing. So I think it's also, it's like a, it starts from ourselves that I think it's important that we show love. I love Dean. Practicing Azan at home or practicing. Oh, I want to copy. Because honestly, you just saw Azan. I didn't hear Azan from the way it happens on the loudspeakers. You're like, Papa, because you just heard Azan. So I think it's important that we demonstrate love of Islam. That will also pass on to the children.
Jazakallah. We'll have the Adhan in 2-3 minutes. But I know, sorry, we've not done justice, but I think it's important we talk about the elders. Now, just 2-3 minutes, we'll speak about, okay, our elders have come, they've done their part, they gave us a great service. Now, what do we, young, yeah, elders, what do we owe to them? You know, they did their part. Now, sometimes I do feel we should focus on teenagers. They are our future. They are our generation. But in ta'alims, in bayans, to everything, but bichara our elders who have made their beards white, who are part of fabric, and sometimes they overlook it. What are their needs? Their community needs? What can we do for them that they feel appreciated? Because human nature is, subhanAllah. Okay, let me give you an example. I was just reading today. And that wasn't because I was reading someone's forward. They had a forward. It was a spiritual side, but you'll understand where it comes from. There's a football player. I won't say his name. He died in an accident 2 weeks ago. Now, he had 3 million followers. The uncle, mashallah, has a couple of thousands. So he had 3 million followers. Can we buy some of those? So he had 3 million followers. He died within 2-3 days. Now he's got 5 million, just about more than double the followers. Just after he died, 2 days after. But the Islamic court said, people truly appreciate value after the ni'mat blessing has gone. These elders that we have amongst them, I'm sure many will know, Qasim Khan, Singri Mama, there's so many others who are in the picture, they'll know, I'm sorry if I've forgotten so many of us. But they were there, did we really benefit from them? But when that ni'mat is lifted away, Urifa then will treat. So what can we do? 2 minutes, what can we do for our elders to make them feel valued, for us to continue their legacy and build on that? So, okay, so try and follow their steps, mashallah. You know, always in the masjid, the khidmat. I think that's inspirational for our young ones to see, okay, you know what, the khidmat.
Give them opportunity to share their knowledge, their experience, and their wisdom.
I think a very important part. So we can have these programs where someone like me wouldn't even go anywhere near. But they talk through their experience, what happened and how we can derive. And alhamdulillah, as for the uncles, open invitation in the madrasa as well. We're hoping to do that, where we call in people of the community who have given service, talk to these children. Mashallah, they in Hibs. Mashallah, which is good, but at the same time, the appreciation, they have got a greater service to give the community as well. Who are these, our elders? Because if we show them respect, our children will grow in respect. Otherwise, they'll open the door and just move on. You know how we were taught, keep the door open for the elder. So we learned, we saw these things. They'll probably be missing now.
Very, very brief observation. I'm just talking about my particular street. So obviously, I observe quite on that. What I've noticed, we're not talking about daily matters or daily people, practicing people. But I'm just talking about parenting the time of how much time do we actually give to our children? Everybody's busy. Mother mentioned the male working, the female working. But just on my street alone, what I've observed, that those parents that give good time to their children, one-to-one, notice, no, not talking about practicing at all. You know, and the effect that they have, and we share, you know, with me and my wife observe this, and we talk about it. You know, they may not be practicing, but look at the affection that they show for their parents. Look at the affection they show for their grandparents as well, the way they open their doors. And you know, obviously, what I think is that everybody, we need to put our phones away, we need to isolate ourselves at least half an hour. Not necessarily talking about deen, but just having a general chat. Sometimes we might talk about nature, whatever, talk about, even, you know, even talk about sport, or to talk about family matters, ta'aleem all the time. You can maybe end with a bit of ta'aleem. I think our focus is so much on ta'aleem, deen, deen. But, you know, they get that in madrasa. They get that in schools as well, which are the most of them they go to. And I think we saturate them so much that they don't want to listen. They don't want to talk about that topic. If we start talking about other topics, that creates harmony and love and affection. And I see this because I'm just talking on my street alone. And I envy some of them when I see them in the way. Because obviously in our day, at the age, until the age of 40, I never spoke to my dad. He came in one room, I would go in another room. And obviously as he got older, and we started to serve him, then we opened up. But that's the era we lived. And here, and you know, we could never ever express our feelings. We could never, whatever they said, you submit to our thought, and that was it. In madrasa, it was the same. In school, it was the same. And at home, it was the same. But nowadays, our children, let's say, everybody wants to ask questions, and we know we need to listen to them. Some of the questions are very difficult. We might not be able to answer them. And we need to be transparent and tell them, look, I don't know. I'll try and find out for you. It's not necessary that you have to give them that answer straight away, because they are awkward questions.
No, Jazakumullah khairah, Marna Hafiz Bashir Sahab, amazing. What he said is, and I think if this we can just take with us is this, okay. Sometimes it doesn't have to be deen, hifz, because they're still growing yet. They've got, in fact, our ulama majalis, just to give you an insight, Hakim Akhtar Sahab was a great scholar. He had lots of murids. In his majlis, at the end of the day, 30 minutes would be mazaya majlis. That would just mean jokes. No religious talk. If you want to do religious talk, galos. This is just jokes. Why? Because the heart needs and craves different things. Just like we need sometimes sugar, sometimes spice, sometimes hot, sometimes cold. Allah's made our hearts and humans that we need some play. We need some nature walk. We need some, you know, humor in our lives. And I think that's important that when... So even if we were to sit with our children 20, 30 minutes, whatever, and bond with them, doesn't have to be deen, but like everything away... And inshallah, that will have a massive difference. And it's giving that time to our children, everything away, to make them feel you're the most important thing. And they can express themselves. You may not have the answers, but to be honest and with them. So jazakumullah khairah for everyone for attending, for tuning in and listening. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a beginning of more of these so we can discuss. And hopefully, then we can start providing these courses or start providing solutions. Okay, what can we do as a community to fill all these gaps? Jazakumullah khairah, and I do apologize that we've taken this time. Inshallah, adhan will take place, and we'll try and start salah in 5 minutes after the adhan. Subhanallah, wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, astaghfiruka.